You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of Darth Amin's Rule of Two. I am your Sith Lord, Darth Amin. I'm joined, as always, by my apprentice, Darth Cornpuzzle, a.k.a. Anthony Mays. This is the Star Wars podcast. We review all content Star Wars that comes out. We are in the midst of reviewing The Bad Batch Season 3, and this is the recap for Episodes 6 and 7, Infiltration and Extraction.
I thought for sure the two-part episode would have infiltration and extraction from Mount Tantus.
You know what? I did not expect that, or at least I didn't expect it once the first episode started. And as soon as we saw Senator Chuchi and Senator Singh, I was like, Star Wars politics. This is my favorite part of Star Wars. I thought we were going to get heavy politics for at least one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. Turns out, just a little tease at the beginning, and then we go back to dealing with clones again. Senator Chuchi, you'll remember from last season, was the senator who was fighting for the clone rights bill in the Senate. And also she uncovered the destruction of Kamino at the hands of Admiral Rampart. Meanwhile, Senator Singh is the senator from Raxus, which was the capital of the Separatists during the Clone Wars. So he is a former Separatist. They lost, obviously. He was actually in the Bad Batch last season, when they wanted him to kind of bend the knee and, you know, recognize the Empire, and he refused, so he got arrested, and the Bad Batch were hired to free him, even though he's a dirty Sep. Not to be confused with the septic, Maze.
That's right. But you can tell he's dirty because of that sideburns, mustache-connected joint he's got going on. It's Doc Brown White, and we have the two senators coming together in what they think is an under-the-radar meeting to cross the aisle. Senator Chuchi's crossing the aisle here to hang out with the Separatists. But, I mean, they are being followed and watched by one of those assassins from last season's Clone Conspiracy episodes.
Yes.
The guys with the electric cyanide capsules in their teeth.
Absolutely. You know, as May says, Senator Chuchi goes across the aisle, but this is really the start of, I'm not so enamored with this Empire thing. And so Senator Chuchi, who was part of the Republic, is telling Senator Singh, who is a former Separatist, like, hey, we're not so crazy about this shit either. And so we're seeing the seeds of the rebellion happening. As Maze points out, there is a clone assassin who is there who tries to attack them. He is thwarted and captured by Captain Rex, who is there overseeing this meeting. Captain Rex manages to capture him alive, and so they figure out that he has that suicide capsule as a result of them stunning him versus killing him. Rex tries to interrogate him on some, and I quote, buddy-buddy shit. Come on, man.
You're still a clone.
Heavy good cup.
You're still one of us.
Back on Tantus, we got one of those clone commandos ordering another one of the assassins to go and neutralize the first one. So Rex, we're back here. Rex is interrogating. He's asking, where is he based? Coruscant, Darrow, Tantus. And when he says Tantus, the man reacts a little and was like, oh, yeah, we know all about Tantus, bro. You know all about that little shit. So why don't you just tell us where it's at? My favorite cop tactic is like, we already know all about it. Let's just pretend we didn't know about it. I'm like, why don't you tell me some more about it, right? He's got a data puck on him. Remember, Maze, we saw the data pucks in The Mandalorian.
Yep.
That's what my man Greek Cargo, rest in peace, would hand out to the different bounty hunters that would have all the information on their next bounty. Well, this data puck has a list, and on the list is Senator Singh, but also Omega.
Omega.
Rex says, contact the Bad Batch. Hauser, remember Hauser? He was in Clone Wars, and he was also in the Bad Batch. Hauser says, yeah, why don't you get the Bad Batch to come here so we can roast the fuck out of Crosshair, who, if you remember, in season one, Crosshair was the one that arrested Hauser and killed many, many of his men.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into their beef, because it does not settle down at all. Hauser's still pissed at him, even after this episode.
Meanwhile, Echo's on the ship. He's got the Bad Batch with him. He starts acting real shady, talking about, oh, yeah, Rex wants to see you guys. Don't know why. I'll just drop you guys off, and then I'm going to go get Gregor.
Also got Omega copycatting Crosshair with the toothpick. I like that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that.
She's starting to spend more time with him, and he's not quite as stern and dickish as he normally is, and she's also looking up to him and imitating him, and she wants to be a heavy and a sniper and all that stuff. So you got to start with the toothpick.
So they land. Wrecker says they don't look happy to see us. A great Wrecker laugh right there. Hauser immediately runs up on Crosshair.
Yep.
Talking about, you killed all my men on Ryloth and da da da. And there's that tension going on.
Echo hangs back, calls Omega over, gives her an energy crossbow. She loves her new toy. She had one in the second season, but we just haven't seen it. She lost it or something.
Well, she had a regular bow, right?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, with the pink arrows.
Yes, this one's a crossbow, which I believe has more power, although less aim as a regular bow and arrow. Anyways, the assassin shows up, lands out in the middle of nowhere so that he can infiltrate his way in. There's that word again. Rex gives us some recaps position about the list, about all types of other things. Hauser just doesn't buy that Crosshair is a good guy now. Gives him a lot of shit.
He thinks that Crosshair is feeding Tantus information. Hunter tells Hauser to back down. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He refuses to. They ask about why Omega was valuable on Tantus, and she mentions M count, which Rex has heard of, but doesn't know what it means.
Nobody knows what it is. Way to pay attention, Rex, when you're around Obi-Wan and them boys.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note that even beyond Crosshair screwing over Hauser and the rest of the clones in general kind of look at Clone Force 99 as like the weirdos. That's why Wrecker says that they don't look happy to see us, just like old times. Because they've always been kind of the outcasts, the irregular ones. They're the goth kids, I guess, of Clone High School. So it doesn't help, obviously, beyond that. Crosshair tells them about the special ops clones that are being reconditioned and run by Hemlock, which is basically what the assassins are. Rex says, we got one. And Crosshair is like, oh, shit, what are you doing? We got to get out of here. The Empire's coming. Hauser says, no, we scanned them. There's no tracker. And Crosshair says, it's not that kind of tracker. Hemlock's smarter than that.
There's also a great line where Crosshair says that they tried to convert him, but it didn't work because being defective is in my nature.
Yeah.
So he's such a goth kid that even when they try to exploit his goth tendencies, he's too goth for the goth kids.
It's too emo for them.
Yeah.
The assassin sneaks in. Meanwhile, Omega and Wrecker and Betcha are just eating, chowing down. The assassin sees Omega in the scope, calls back to the clone commander, who says, capture her alive and unharmed.
When they go to question the hostage, there's a moment of recognition between him and Crosshair. If you want to answer so badly, why aren't you asking him? Right, brother?
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 And when he says that, Hauser immediately starts gripping the...
Hauser can't wait.
I knew this motherfucker wasn't shit.
Give me a fucking reason.
Just at that moment, the assassin cuts the power. We get a bunch of firefight here and there. Wrecker's out there with his howitzer talking about, we got a shooter out here, which reminded me of basketball for some reason. Shooter! Shooter! Yeah. You know.
The white guy's open!
Yeah.
Cover him! As soon as they open the door, the sniper assassin kills the hostage, and Hauser charges with the flamethrower. Was this Hauser or was this another clone?
That's Fireball.
Different clone, Fireball, charges with the flamethrower. He gets killed, but blows up some charges that ruin the integrity of the whole compound. The ceiling's caving in. The assassin's unconscious.
To Screen Crush and Ryan Airy. I thought it looked a lot like Jabba's Palace, but I didn't realize it is a monastery. Jabba's Palace was a monastery from these monks that decided that the level of actualization is to remove themselves from oral bodies. So their brains are just being carried by these droid spider robots, right? You see them in Return of the Jedi. You've seen them in Book of Boba Fett. And so that's why their little compound looks like Jabba's palace.
The Tantus troop ships are arriving. They've lost contact with the assassin. We get Commander Wolf reiterating that the orders are to take Omega alive. And Commander Wolf, he's in everything. He's in Clone Wars. He's in Rebels. He's been in Bad Batch before. And he served under Plo Koon.
Yes, he did.
Dave Filoni's number one dog.
His favorite character.
In the Clone Wars.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.
So that's the end of episode 6, episode 7, Extraction. Basically, without belaboring, is the cat and mouse game as they're being hunted by a battalion of mixture of clones and stormtroopers, Maze, led by Commander Wolf, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Wolf basically tells the clone assassin, hey, man, what the hell is going on? I'm in charge here. I'm in command. Who are you anyway? And he says, that's classified. And we get a little good old-fashioned pull-in rank tension.
Jurisdiction pissing contest. I mean, you love to see it.
Oh, yeah.
The assassin doesn't listen to a word that Commander Wolf says, does his own thing the entire time.
He's gone rogue.
When you go high, I go low. They find the trap door ladder. Wolf wants to blow it up. Assassin sneaks in, then Wolf brings his guys around to the bottom. So we've got the assassin coming from the top, Wolf's soldiers coming from the bottom.
Crosshair keeps missing, but then does the thing where he shoots one of those magnetic things
mm-hmm.
that sticks, and then it blows him off the ledge, and then Crosshair tries to light him up.
They, of course, manage to get to the junker ship with no light speed capabilities, the jalopy, and get out of there, but get immediately shot down by the assassin,
who then gets reprimanded by Wolf for jeopardizing the mission, because the mission is to capture her alive and unharmed, and this dude used live ammo as opposed to the stun. But of course, he says, I prevented the target from escaping, so doesn't that get me a little credit here, huh, Commander?
What do we make of Crosshair's supernatural spidey senses? Has he always had this ability?
He talks about it. He talks about knowing when you have eyes on you, right? This is what he's attuned to in some sense. I don't think it's supernatural like the Force or anything like that, but I just think he's very, 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 peak elite awareness.
Perceptive, yeah.
99 awareness on Madden.
Chris Paul out there on the court.
Here's the interesting part out of all of this, right? Crosshair still has the shakes. And that's why I was like, the whole screen crush theory that like, oh, this is all PTSD. And now it's resolved. Like, no, man. This dude still got the shakes, still f***ing up on his aim. The material's decomposing on him or whatever you want to call it. I'm sticking with that theory that he has Star Wars Parkinson's. Anyways, nice little chase.
After they crash in the jungle, they're crawling out. Crosshair is checking in on Omega and babying her. You're as bad as Anta. Oh, I'm much worse.
Yeah.
They got to get to the extraction point, which is 5 clicks north on foot. Rex tells Crosshair, hey, man, you're different. You go to therapy. You get suspended. What happened?
Yeah.
BetterHelp.com/badbatch. And he says, loyalty meant something to me, but with the Empire, it didn't go both ways. I realized how disposable I was. And Rex says, you're not the only one.
A lot of little clone woe is me party about how we used to be somebody.
Yep.
And now they don't care about us. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. They call Echo. Echo arrives right as Wolf and his battalion have cornered Rex. Rex does the same old, hey, brother, speech that he runs on every clone he runs into. And for the first time ever, I think it works. It works because Wolf allows him to get away. Maze, I wasn't very satisfied with that explanation.
Yeah. Also, he says, I know you've been trained not to question orders, but open your eyes, which is a pretty tough thing to say to a dude with only one eye.
One eye, he lost that to Asajj Ventress.
Tough one. Tough one for my guy Rex, but it's a silent complicity from Wolf. He's not fully swung, he just doesn't say anything, and he makes his troops stand down.
He looks the other way, and he says to him, like, look, we're going to capture you, we're going to arrest you, and I'll make sure you get a fair trial, which is... of course, something Commander Wolf cannot promise. Talk about outkicking your coverage.
Law and order. They're not the same department. Yeah. I mean, it's one or the other.
Relax, Briscoe. Like, you've got nothing to do with happens in this courtroom over here.
What did you think of the assassin crosshair fight in the waterfall and down the waterfall and hand to hand and then eventually... we got Rex bailing him out with the stun to the back.
I thought it was all right. It was one of those things that dragged a little too long. You know, we could have knocked it out a lot quicker, but I get it.
It mildly reminded me of the Black Panther fight in the waterfall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little bit. Not nearly enough trash talk.
And we're back on Echo's ship. Is Gregor there? Because that's what Echo was supposed to do. He's supposed to go get Gregor. I cannot remember if he actually picked him up or not. And obviously... the Bad Batch, and we're still trying to figure out where Tantus is. We're still not any closer to anything else. Meanwhile, one of the clones asks Commander Wolf, you know, they're traitors. And Wolf says, yeah, but they're still clones. And I said, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but we're clones.
You're going to have to...
my brother?
You're going to have to file an incident report, my man. Anyway, what happened? Well...
I do like Rex with the understatement... of the episode. Guys, I think that Omega might be important to Mount Tantus.
You think so?
I don't know what this ebb count is, but it sounds official. It sounds important. I don't know. We should look into this.
It sounds like you guys want me to do Ghost of Girlfriends fast.
Yes. It sounds like you want me to go to Mount Tantus. So
yeah.
I gotta say, didn't stack up against the clone conspiracy doubleheader from last season, and this could have easily been one episode, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first episode a lot. I enjoyed Infiltration a lot. As I've said, I love Star Wars politics. It's my favorite part of Star Wars as I've gotten older. I love the interplay between Hauser and Crosshair. I feel like he's winning over trust at far too rapidly a rate, right? Untrusted episode 6, episode 7, you know what? I saw you interacting with the kid. I buy it now.
You're different. I can tell. It's written on your face. You're clearly a changed man.
Yes, you murdered my entire platoon.
Yep.
And turned me into the Empire where they were going to take me to Tantus to torture me and perhaps brainwash me to make me into one of these clone assassins. But you know what? Your bedside manner with the kid. I'm enjoying the season very much. I just don't like how they rapidly advance certain plot points. I'm not saying we have to have a long-ass argument all the time. I'm just saying let's extend the amount of time it takes before Hauser, before Hunter, before any of these people say, you know what? I now know that you're it feels almost like John Taffer. You're screaming at a guy one day, and then the next day it's like, we got off on the wrong foot, didn't we, buddy? It should not happen that quickly. Also, I really did not like Wolf letting them go. Rex is like, come on. He just basically kept saying, come on, until Wolf said, I can't say no to you, Rex. Now, the funny thing, obviously, is we know in Rebels, many, many years later, Wolf, Rex, and Gregor are the three clones who are still alive and kicking as Ahsoka goes out to find them in the middle of nowhere and introduces Kanan and Ezra to them, which is also a funny episode. If you haven't watched Rebels, it's a really interesting episode because Kanan reacts to them with incredible fear and distrust because for Kanan, clones are the ones that killed his master and killed all the Jedi, and like there's no way there's such a thing as good clones. Same way that for Din Djarin, there's no such thing as good droids, right? Because droids are the ones that murdered his people. Basically, do we have anything else?
There is the news that the Mandalorian movie called The Mandalorian and Grogu is going to happen before The Mandalorian season 4.
Okay, first of all, shout out to Grogu's agent.
Grogu's agent, he's in the title now, man. It's big.
Put my man on the marquee.
Co-lead?
How long before Grogu and The Mandalorian? Like, how much more negotiation before we get to that point?
As soon as he's a teenager.
When you say before season 4, at least before season 4, or it's going to take place?
I'm talking about release. I'm talking about production.
Oh, wow.
So they're working on The Mandalorian and Grogu. That is the next project in the Mandalorian universe. And so, all things considered, it's very possible if it's success.
We're back in movie theaters.
Because Star Wars desperately needs a movie hit, that there will not be a Mandalorian season 4 and that it will just become a big screen franchise. How does that make you feel?
I don't know about that. Unless if you're telling me we're going to take season 4 and we're going to make it into a second Mandalorian movie, that's fine. Like, I'm a big fan of you. You have a story to tell. Tell that story. Don't do that to it, because that's how we end up with things without a whole lot of direction and a whole lot of, you know, meaning to it. But if it's legitimately like, this is a story we want to tell, and we can either tell it as a movie or tell it as a series, and they want to tell it as a movie, I'm fine with that, I think. I'm all right, as long as it's just not an artificially forced-ass story.
Just don't mess it up. That's what I hope.
Don't mess it up. Yeah, just give me a good story.
Don't take the good TV show and make a mediocre movie out of it.
That ends up canceling the TV show.
Right.
Because that's the Disney way.
You sink them both, you know?
Yeah. Oh, never mind all that shit.
Let's not do that.
This is the other part. This is the Filoni movie. I thought this movie was supposed to be the Avengers of all these Star Wars TV series, where Thrawn is the Thanos that they have to take down.
I believe that is just being pushed back.
So this is a separate movie other than...
Because this is a Favreau movie.
Favreau's directing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So this is not... Well, I mean... No, I just think it's odd. Like, less than a year ago, they have Star Wars Celebration. They announced, hey, man, we got three movies. One movie that takes place, The Dawn of the Jedi. One movie that takes place, the Mando universe. And one movie that takes place with Rey restarting the Jedi Order. And we've got Filoni, and we've got Bryce Dallas Howard, or whoever. You got all these people. And it's like, where's Favreau? He's not part of this shit. And now, less than a year later, they couldn't even hold it for Celebration. They're like, Favreau's here. Favreau gets his own movie. Why not?
And I remember when we were doing Mandalorian, there was reports that Favreau already had Mando 4 sketched out.
Mm.
And so clearly what's happened is that he's turned that into a movie now. But that's the thing with the Star Wars universe and with the MCU now, is that they will announce things and then not deliver it or change the plan dramatically, etc.
I just feel like start making the thing and then let us know, hey, we got this coming.
Guess what works, Amin, is building anticipation and mystery around a project and slowly rolling it out, as opposed to announcing something, changing your mind. It's what you tried to criticize me for on Cinephobe. You said, hey, Maze, why are you announcing your next pick? Let it develop in a normal amount of time.
Pretty much, because we know what we're doing. They don't need to know what we're doing until we're actually doing it or/have done it. It's the same thing. I don't feel like there's any value.
But that's what happens when you have to come up with a story for Star Wars Celebration or for a Comic-Con. You look around and you say, what do we got? It's kind of like Woj on Christmas talking about how James Harden might go to Houston. You know, you're just looking around for whatever kind of story you can find and you're slapping it together.
I don't know. I feel like they could have done that with just saying, hey, by the way, we're going to do a Dawn of the Jedi movie. That's your announcement. Or, hey, we're going to do a Rey movie. I feel like they weren't confident enough in either of those things to announce separately. So they had to announce them all together in order to give the illusion that we have a plan when in actuality they don't.
Illusions, Michael.
Tricks are for kids or for whores. Excuse me.
One or the other.
All right. That's going to do it for Rule of Two. Keep us locked in with you every Friday as we are watching and reviewing The Bad Batch for Darth Corn Puzzle. I'm Darth Amin reminding you, they look happy to see us, just like old times. That's a lot more emphysemic.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.